Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and praise the Lord for the opportunity to have church this evening, and that was a blessing, and I trust that you feel the very same way. As every time you come to the house of the Lord, you receive a blessing, and it's a place of refuge for us, and I trust that you do sense the presence of God in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 16, 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. On Wednesday nights, we have been going through and teaching on a series on Bible characters, and we have done, it took us a couple years to get through the life of Christ, the life of Joseph. We've studied the life of David. Right now, we're in the life of Noah, and what a tremendous Bible study that is, and understanding everything about the flood, and just so much information there that we've just been getting into the last few weeks. On Sunday nights, we just changed and went into a different type of a study. And I like Bible characters, and I just feel like that this is what the Lord would have us to go through. And we started studying on little-known Bible characters, one lesson on little-known Bible characters. And God has preserved their testimony in His Word. And if He's preserved their testimony in His Word, then there's something that we ought to learn from those Bible characters. Some good, some bad. And some things we learn not to do, other things we learn to do. And so it's been good just going through. And we've been going back and forth. We'll study a Bible character, a little-known Bible character in the Old Testament. And then we go to the New Testament. And that's how we'll be doing it. And it's just, I think it's been a help as we've been doing this for the last few weeks. Last week, we studied the Bible character Achan. And when you think of Achan, I said there's something that I relate to every time I hear the name of a Bible character. I like to relate it to something. And what I relate Achan to is, don't do it. Achan's sin, I mean, how it affected his family and the entire nation of Israel up as it went up against the battle of Ai. And so we have that Bible character. And after you read that story, hopefully you have the same thought is, don't do it. It's not worth it. Don't sin. And Achan's sin, that it caused a lot of damage. Tonight, we're going to be looking at a Bible character by the name of Stephanus. Stephanus, not Stephen, Stephanus. And if I said Stephanus tonight without you even knowing it was going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, how many of you would have an association with that Bible character? Amen. Good. Well, maybe you're just embarrassing. Well, raise your hand. But tonight, hopefully, by the time we get finished with the lesson tonight on this Bible character, a little-known Bible character named Stephanus, we'll find out that what I associate him with is an addict in a good way. And so stand with me. We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 down to verse 18. The Bible says, in Paul closing out this letter to the church at Corinth, he says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you again, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for church and the opportunity to assemble ourselves together. And even tonight, for each one that was able to be here tonight. And I just pray, God, that you would meet with us once again. Thank you for what we've already received. But as we open up your word and we study this Bible character that you have preserved in your word for us, help us to learn the things that we need to learn tonight that will draw us closer to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Stephanus, an addict, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. When we hear that word addict, usually we're thinking of something negative. dependent upon something. You know, an addict is dependent upon possibly drugs or alcohol or some other addiction. And that's something that we want to stay away from when it comes to the things of the world. But when a thing comes to the things of God, I think it's good to give ourselves to the things of God to the place that we are dependent upon them. Dependent upon them. Now, Stephanus, let's do a little bit of background on him. If you look in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, go back there with me, we find that he was a Christian convert in the church of Corinth. His household, his family, was the first of Paul's converts in Achaia. That's what he says the verses that we've just read. If we look back to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians in verse 16, he mentions that. When Paul is writing, he says, "And I baptize also the household of Stephanus." So he would have been one of Paul's converts, and not only did he get saved, but he led his whole family to get saved. And after his family was saved, it was one of the very few that Paul says that he himself baptized. "Beside this, I know not whether I baptize any other." But Paul remembered this family. He remembered this family because of their testimony. And Paul says, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God and what God has preserved for us to read and be blessed by as well, that he had addicted themselves, the whole family, not only Stephanus, but his whole family had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Not addicted to the things of this world, as I said, not of drugs and alcohol, cigarettes, pornography, money, greed, I mean, whatever. There's so many addictions that we have to fight in the world that we live in today, but to ministry, the things of God. And Paul then, after he mentions him, he says to us that in verse 16, that ye, not only is he speaking to the other saints, the other believers in the church at Corinth, but has been preserved for all the saints of all the churches throughout this entire church age. It includes the congregation of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. He said, "Learn from this man, that ye submit yourselves," or "learn from, unto such," because he has been the only one. There's been many that have followed in the footsteps of Stephanus. And praise God, I'm going to see whether or not you're one of those tonight. And you're, at the time we get finished with this message, you're going to determine whether or not, without even realizing it, that that's what's happened to you. And so he says, "Submit yourselves unto such as to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth." So he is presenting this house of Stephanus, and Stephanus especially, the leader of the home, and he says, "Learn from them, for they have addicted themselves to this ministry." I believe he was talking about him in response to what he writes in verse 13 and 14. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, and quit ye like men, and be strong." That's part of what Stephanus and his family had done. "Let all your things be done with charity." As he's serving God, he's doing everything based upon the love of God and the love of others. And that's what he's talking about. That's ministry. Ministry is not sitting back and waiting on somebody to minister to you. Ministry is all about people. Ministry is all about taking the advantage of the opportunities that God gives you by whatever platform you have in order to serve the Lord by ministering to people. Learn of him. Learn from him. So tonight with that, on that as the background, we're going to come back to this, but the idea there is some godly addictions that we need to develop a dependency upon. Developing a dependency upon some of these things. First of all, the Bible. An addiction. Have I addicted myself to the Word of God? Well, let me ask it in a different way. What would your life be like without the Bible? Can you imagine living the life that you live without having the Word of God to turn to? Could you imagine making decisions as a husband or a wife or a parent or any other place in life? Can you imagine making that a decision of importance in any other area of my life without having the very words of God to look to find out What does Almighty Creator God say about it? And I trust that if you're here tonight and if you're truly saved, that you would say, wow, without even knowing it, I've addicted myself to the Bible, to the Word of God. Because I can't imagine living without having God to turn, God's Word to turn to. Look at Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 16 with me. Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 16. Developing a dependency upon it. Might have taken a little while. Might have taken some efforts of some godly Sunday school teachers to teach you the importance of memorizing the Scriptures. To help you to understand that why the Bible stories are there. To understand that the Word of God is true. And powerful. The Word of God is something that will not change. The Word of God is something that you can turn to. Whenever you have decisions to make in life, God's Word has been preserved for us to use. We can turn to it and have confidence of making right decisions based upon the preserved Word of God. And we find in Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Just a part of me. I've developed, without even maybe understanding it, but I've developed a dependency upon it. And that's a good thing. And that's what God would have from us. He said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, because that's where wisdom comes from. Godly wisdom comes from His Word. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then it gives us an example of wives. Follow the Word of God. Husbands, follow the Word of God. Children, fathers, servants. You have the Word of God to turn to. What would my life be like? If you're lost, you're not looking to the Bible to determine what to do. If you're a carnal believer, you're not looking to the Bible. But if you're a dedicated Christian and want to live a Christian-like life and follow Christ, can I tell you, you will addict yourself to the Word of God. You'll develop a dependency upon it. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Ephesians in chapter 5. Developing a dependency or an addiction to the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. Now, I'm not talking about the charismatic crowd that want to assemble themselves together and somewhat get being slain in the spirit and lose control of physical abilities and physical control. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what God has given us through the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 18 says this, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God says, I want you to be aware of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit is simply learning how to yield. He is the person of God that we communicate with. He's a person of God that represents the Lord Jesus Christ that lives and dwells within us. Now we know that according to the Word of God, we pray to God the Father. We pray to God the Father through God the Son, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you find yourself yielding in your spirit and your mind? Lord, help me to have right thinking. Lord, strengthen me to get this done. Strengthen me, direct me here. Give me wisdom. Give me insight. What are you doing? You're not, a lot of times during our everyday life, every day at work or whatever it might be, I am aware of God's presence within me. And that's praying without ceasing. 24/7, I can be aware of God. Do you ever want to get to the place where you don't want to be aware of God? What it would be like if you did not believe that God was aware of you and that you could turn to Him at any time. I would not want to live my life that way. Once you've experienced the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, once you've experienced the idea of being able to turn to God from within, my spirit bearing witness with His spirit and His spirit bearing witness with my spirit, listen to me, once you experience that, you don't want to be without it. What have you done? You just have developed a dependency upon it. It's just the normal way of life for the Christian. Look to this indwelling spirit, which again, we pray to God the Father. It comes from God the Father. And we only have connection to God the Father through God the Son, Jesus Christ. But He's a third part of the Godhead that dwells within you. And His spirit, that's the spirit of God indwelling within you, bearing witness with your spirit. It's what influences and directs us from within. Once you experience that, you say, and I never want to be without that. The only way you're without it, and He will never leave you, but you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God by way of blocking Him out and yielding to sin, doing things your way instead of His way. But if you really develop a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, listen to me, you want to yield because you realize that's where wisdom comes from. That's what enables me to do what I ought to do, even when I don't feel like doing it. I don't let feelings dictate how I live my life. I'm filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, something good to develop a dependency upon. Luke 11, chapter 1. Something else, and it goes right along with the Holy Spirit of God. Once you are aware of the Holy Spirit of God within you, then you'll want to, as the disciples did, in Luke in chapter 11 and verse 1, learn how to pray. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. What would your life be like without prayer? Would it change at all? If for some reason you could not pray and that was taken away from you, would it change how you get up in the morning? Would it change how you prepare for the day ahead? Would it change what you do midday? Would it change what you do before you go to bed at night? Because that's a good time to pray as any time, but especially in morning and noon and night. You say, preacher, didn't realize it. But yeah. I've developed a dependency upon prayer. And that's a good thing. I believe that's what God would have us to do. I don't want to be without of knowledge that I know God hears prayer and I know prayer works. It's God's design. It's a communication line that's open 24/7 to a Creator God. Wow. Amen. That's a blessing. Prayer. Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27. In Psalms chapter 27, the psalmist says this in verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Can you imagine your life without the church? Most of people have been there before. I've always somewhat been in church. I was saved when I was 8 years old. I was never really, during my early years, I was never really truly in church. I was not addicted. I had not addicted myself to church until later on in life when I submitted my will to God's will and I yielded to do what I knew God was calling me to do and become a pastor, to surrender my life to ministry. Until that time, I had never developed a dependency upon church. It was something I did whenever I had some leftover time. Whenever there wasn't really something else going on at that particular time and somebody wanted me to go to church, I got a phone call from my mom or dad or whatever it might have been. It was something that I would do periodically, but I had not developed a dependency on it. Today, can't imagine my life without church. Not just because I'm a pastor, but I couldn't imagine my life without church. Where are you at tonight? What if that was taken away? We have a family in the church that, because of work and thinking that they were would be better for them and surroundings, a lot of other things, they moved to a different place in the United States of America, up in Idaho. And as they moved, they thought, well, we'll just find another good church in that area. They got to that place in that area, and there they could not find a good church. They could not find, especially a church like this church. And they said, preacher, we don't know what to do, because the Lighthouse has made us dependent upon church. And they was only gone for a couple of years, and they moved back because of the church. And I love that, because without them even realizing, what they was telling me is, yes, because you've experienced what God wanted you to experience in church, and you were you have developed a dependency upon it, as God would have us to develop a dependency upon it, when it wasn't there, life just wasn't the same. So I ask you tonight, would your life be the same if for some reason you could no longer come to church? Say, preach, I can't imagine my life without church. Praise the Lord. You develop an addiction, a good one, a dependency upon what God would have us to be dependent upon. In Psalms in chapter 94, going right along with that, Psalms 94 and verse 22, it says this. Psalms 94 verse 22, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. You hear me say that quite often. The church is a place of refuge. The number one refuge in our lives ought to be our homes. You ought to make sure that you are putting the time into it. Make your home a place of refuge. Make your home a place where everybody in that house looks forward to coming home. Wives, make it to the place where your husband looks forward to coming home. And husbands, make it to the place where your wives look forward to coming home. And parents, make it a place where your children look forward to coming home. Make it a place of refuge. No matter what you have to do, make it a place of refuge. Do not allow Satan to steal that from you. The home is the number one place for refuge. And the number two place is the church. Praise the Lord for this place of refuge. When it becomes a place of refuge for you, you've developed an addiction. You've developed a dependency upon it. I couldn't imagine myself without it. Stephanus. Yeah. I believe that's part of his addicting himself. Psalms 126. Psalms 126. Some godly addictions. Developing a dependency upon these things. I believe God would have us to. Psalms 126 in verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. If you're not sowing, if you're not witnessing, if you don't look forward to telling people about Christ, you don't understand that particular type of joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What is he talking about there? He's talking about he that winneth souls is wise. He's talking about soul winning. Talking about being able to have a testimony that I know that the lost need to hear. If you're saved tonight, can I tell you, you have what every lost man and lost woman and lost child of the age of accountability needs to hear. How you got saved. And how you got saved is somewhat unique. Everyone's got a unique testimony. And praise the Lord for that, because that's a testimony that God wants to use, because some people in your life will only listen to you. You have the ear of some that would never hear me. You have the ear of some that would never step foot in this church the way they are now. But if they would hear your testimony, you could be the one to be able to lead them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, which would change their eternal destiny, which would have changed their lives, because they would become a new creature in Christ, and then they would be able to come to this church and be able to be influenced by this church and hear from the preaching of the Word of God and be dependent upon the church as well. Could you imagine not being able to share your testimony ever again? Can you imagine some, and it might come to that place where they'll have to go to jail for just giving your testimony, telling somebody how to get saved. But can you imagine today not being able to ever share your testimony again with anyone else? Or would that impact your life at all? Would that change anything? Maybe that's an addiction that we need to work on. Maybe this is some of the joy that God wants you to have that you haven't experienced yet. If you've never led somebody to Christ, you've not experienced that joy. If you've never seen how God can work through your testimony, not experienced that joy. Even when you had to go through some trials, and that's part of your testimony, and you see God working through that, you've never experienced that joy unless that's happened to you. Soul winning. Maybe it's something we need to work on to develop a dependency upon it. The fellowship of the saints, Hebrews chapter 10. What would your life be with if you could have no more fellowship with believers? All you had to run around with lost people. Every conversation you had has to do with someone that's lost. Can't talk about the Bible, can't talk about the things of God because they're lost. What would that mean? How would that affect your life? Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 24, the Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. One of the things as a church and the fellowship of the saints in the church is we ought to be provoking one another. We ought to be helping, encouraging, and admonishing, and provoking, and kind of urging one another to do right. Provoking one another unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, because that's part of what's going to help you in provoking and helping one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a number manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, because they're combating every other influence that's trying to lead them in a wrong direction. How important it is to have genuine Christ-like fellowship with other believers. If you're together with other believers, don't fellowship like the world. Amen. Realize you have something special. Make sure it's Christ-centered. 1 John chapter 1, I believe that's exactly what we find in 1 John chapter 1 and what the saints were talking about here. And when John writes in verse 3, he says this, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to fellowship around the things of God. We're going to have Christian, Christ-like fellowship. It's going to encourage and provoke us to do good things and to serve the Lord. And verse 7 it says, but if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 6 it says, but if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, that's not the kind of fellowship that we need to be addicted to. Praise the Lord for Christ-like fellowship. What would your life be like if you could not have any Christian fellowship at all? Wow. If you said, I couldn't imagine that. And praise the Lord, because you've addicted yourself to the fellowship of the saints. One last thing. Acts chapter 20. And I believe this was the main thing of Stephanas, and we'll see that as we go back to that in just a minute. Acts chapter 20, very familiar verse, verse 35. And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What would your life be like if you could give nothing ever again? Give nothing ever again. Would it change your life? Some people live their life with their hand out. Some people live their life thinking it's all about me. What can you do for me? What can this church do for me? I don't know that I want to develop a dependency upon that. With that in mind, go back and we're going to close, but look what it says here again. Know the house of Stephanas, I beseech, I beg you, he says, understand this, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, one of the first ones that came, his whole family got saved, I baptized them, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. What is that? To giving to the needs of the saints. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they've supplied. Because they've given themselves over to giving. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge ye them that are of such. What would your life be like? Can you imagine it? If you could never give anything else. If you can't imagine that, then rejoice. Because you have a spiritual addiction that God wants you to have. A dependency on being able to give. And you realize the more you give as a vessel of God and letting God work through you, the more that God gives. One of the biblical principles is you have to give to get. You don't give with the mindset of getting. You don't do that. But as you give and just develop a dependency, develop addiction to want to be a blessing, to want to give, as you give, you find God giving to you. Even more, because you're just a vessel that He works through. Lord, help me to be a giver. Help me be an encourager. Help me to get my mind off of myself If you're going through some trials, if you're dealing with some very difficult things, the most important thing for you to do is turn it around. There's somebody worse off than what you are, no matter what you're going through. Don't let that trial and don't let whatever that tragedy that you're going through cause you to sit back and say, everybody, it's about me, give to me. That's not going to help you. What's going to help you is when you realize it's more blessed to give than to receive and say, God, help me to be addicted to a dependency upon being a giver to be a blessing. Love the song, make me a blessing. Amen. I want to be a blessing. And you can't outgive the Lord when you're wanting to give as God would have you to give. When you think of Stephanus, a little side note, when you hear that word, get a smile and realize godly addictions. Godly addictions will be a blessing to you. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. Are we? Find yourself with godly addictions. Some things we need to maybe work on to develop these kind of dependencies. Maybe tonight would be a good time to ask God to help you in one of these areas. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this Bible character and the message that you've given to us through him. Help us, Lord, to want to be all that you would have us to be. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name. Amen.